Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
This was Pierre McGuire yesterday in the aftermath of some rumors out there about Evander Kane.
What Evander did in the game against Calgary was basically not compete. That was the night before, and they lost that game, a very important game for them, just like the game in Vancouver was. So I don't know if it was a combination of that and maybe Evander having a bad attitude. I have no idea, but I want to hear what the Jets have to say about it. I can tell you this, without any problem at all, if I had the chance to pull the trigger on a trade for that player, I would.
Today, Pierre McGuire, after working the Rangers and Bruins at MSG on NBC Sports Rivalry Night.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. With five locations, the family keeps growing, tradition keeps flowing, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Wow.
Good.
Well, one of those days where little bits of information kept coming out, and you're going, in my case anyways, I'm going, okay, this makes sense, but there's got to be more. Okay, this makes sense. There's got to be more. And now we know what the more was. An incident with his teammates, Dustin Byfuglien, threw his tracksuit into the shower. He was an hour before the game?
They reached him? Yeah, they couldn't reach him till an hour before the game.
All right, so that's the latest on Evander Kane.
And that's why I told you what I told you yesterday. All the rumors and all the rumor mongers and the late night drinking and missing team meetings and all that stuff, none of that stuff is true. And that's why I said what I said to you yesterday. And that's why a lot of the people that are reporting on things were, I think, a lot were extremely irresponsible yesterday.
But clearly there's a disconnect there with Evander
Absolutely.
Kane and some of his teammates. Some of them have gone on record publicly since we started the show. Blake Wheeler was very critical. The fact that Byfuglien did what he did says a lot. Is this the last straw? Is this it for Evander Kane in Winnipeg, in your opinion?
I would be surprised if he were to stay there past March the 2nd, which is a trade deadline. But I would tell you this, and I will stand firm on this, because I will, and if I'm wrong, I will tell you for straight up I'm wrong. I would take this player on my team. I think put into a different situation with, and I'm not saying the leadership in Winnipeg is bad, because I don't believe it to be. There's been a disconnect there for a while, and I don't know why it is, but it's been there. And I would have Evander Kane on my team as long as I was comfortable with the leadership on my team and I could have a long heart-to-heart with him.
You've been very consistent. And yesterday when you said what you did about wanting to trade for him, and I asked you why, and you said because you have a personal relationship with him and you trust him.
Yep. Yeah, I do. I do. I just because a young person does something wrong doesn't mean that they're a bad person. All of us would like to have mulligans on a lot of things we've done over time. Unfortunately, when you live in the public eye like he is, you don't always get those opportunities. I would just say this, that I think that whatever flaws may be there, I believe can be corrected with this player and this person.
So I know that when I come out and say coach's decision, that I open all of this up to a tremendous amount of speculation, and I can live with that. So I factor all these things in, I make a decision, and sometimes it's difficult to decide whether it's agreed with or not because you don't know the details. I think it's really important as a team we understand the value of that as well, that we deal with it as a group, and I've got to make those decisions and live with them. But those decisions will remain as coaches' decisions, and I won't be going into the details of it.
Okay, I wanted to get to that little bit of Paul right. Maurice, who did speak publicly today before the news broke about what the reason was specifically. Right. It wasn't about wearing a tracksuit. He wasn't ready to play. He wasn't ready to play that game. So, are the Sharks circling here, Pierre?
You mean NHL general managers?
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes, they are, and they may not tell you on the record because they probably can't, but I would tell you that most of them, especially the ones that are in need of a power forward that can skate and produce points, they're going to be making a little call to Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager in Winnipeg, and saying, hey, Kevin, I understand you're having some problems with Evander Kane. Want to talk trade? And I guarantee you his phone's ringing off the hook today.
What would you say to those who say, wait a minute, there's just too much. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There seems to be an awful lot. I know you've addressed it, but there seems to be an awful lot of baggage for a guy this young. Why would you want to welcome him in to a contending team that's got some good chemistry going on, whether it's here in Montreal or anywhere else?
I've known players that have had a lot of the same type of baggage that have gone on to have Hall of Fame careers or very good careers. Some of them I've worked with. Some of them I've watched from afar. Some of them I see today playing in the league and doing extremely well. There's baggage out there because we're putting 18- and 19-year-old kids into million-dollar contracts and turning them loose. And that's irresponsible on us. As and I'm not in it, but I'm just saying, as people that have worked in the league over time, that's irresponsible of us. And I told you a long time ago, in Montreal in particular, it was critically important to have P.K. Subban live with a family. It was critically important to monitor the weight growth of Carey Price. I've told you this stuff for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can determine what a problem is with players, and each player has a different set of problems. But this is a player that not only has redeeming athletic qualities, I think has redeeming humankind qualities, and I will always stand up for the man because I've seen it and I trust him. I do. Now maybe I'm wrong, but I trust him, and I just think it has to come out a different way. That's
yeah.
All.
Anybody who has followed the Canadiens closely for his 3 years will. It's fairly obvious what hanging around with Josh George has meant to Brendan Gallagher, for example.
Well, that's what we're talking about, exactly, the leadership quotient. Well said by you, Mitch. The leadership quotient is so important. And what I respect about Paul Maurice during this whole thing is he has created organizational standards within the confines of the Winnipeg Jets that won't be breached. And so he sent a distinct message to every single player. Here are our standards. This is how we operate as an organization. If you deviate from those standards, you're not going to be part of this group. We're building something special here. You want to be part of something special? Be a special guy. And I have no problem with that. I really respect what Paul. I've had to do what Paul Maurice did last night or two nights ago. I've had to do it. And it's not pleasant, but you have to do it.
I understand it's very easy in hindsight, but have the Winnipeg Jets come into this situation maybe 6 months too late in terms of trading this player if they do?
No, I don't think so. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be listening or wanting to talk to Winnipeg, and I'm sure Winnipeg will be listening, Mitch Gallo. It's a fair question, but I think the biggest thing when you look at it is you can never devalue an asset that is a tremendously athletic asset. If he was not a very good player, then maybe they would have devalued the asset. But the fact is that he is an extremely talented player with a very unique body type and skill set. And those guys are hard to find. They don't grow on trees.
And yet his value over the last 72 hours has taken a very strong perceived hit, if not an actual hit. And I guess Cheveldayoff's also got to consider, Mitch mentioned their playoff situation, their positioning right now. I guess he's kind of weighing getting an immediate return on this investment, getting a player in return that can help him now, versus the low value that Kane has now compared to what he might have in a few months.
All it takes is for two teams to be involved in a bidding war, and then the value is no longer devalued. The asset's no longer devalued, I should say. It's actually going to appreciate. And that's one of the reasons why I was so harsh on the Canadiens when they traded Yaro Halak without creating a bidding war. They only allowed one team to really create an offer. And so I don't think that, based on conversations I've had with other hockey people, including a bunch of them last night, at MSG, I think there are going to be more than one or two teams that are going to be very interested in Evander Kane, should he become available.
What do you suppose, realistically at this stage, Kevin Cheveldayoff can get for Evander Kane?
Well, he's got to evaluate his organizational needs. And it would depend on what he values his needs or views his needs as. If he feels he needs to get a player similar to a Vander Kane, then it would be a bigger forward. If he thinks he needs to upgrade his defense, then it'll be a top four defenseman. Vander Kane is worth at least a top four defenseman, and whether it's a prospect or an early pick, he's worth those two things, and maybe more, depending on how many people get involved. But when you trade a player like this, and this is, again, from just doing study and having been around the league and talking to enough people over time, you have to, if you're going to trade a player that's this good a player, you really have to address organizational needs at that point. A lot of times people just go for the huge bundle. They go for the big bundle. Give me as much as you can give me. But in this case, if you're really serious about being a playoff team, and they've disappointed their fans, they've yet to make the playoffs since they've been in Winnipeg, and they have one of the most loyal fan bases in the league, they owe their fans the playoffs. So if you're going to trade this player, you better address needs that are going to get you into the playoffs rather than just try to stockpile assets.
And now, Montreal Canadiens fans who have been wondering why he's been on the first line at right wing, now they know why Winnipeg native Dale Weiss has been playing with Max Pacioretty and Thomas Plekanec.
And that would be?
Well, his home is in Winnipeg. It's part of an Evander Kane trade. I'm glad you laughed. I got people looking at me stone-faced here. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. So, again, we've discussed this in the past, and I know what you would say, but Cheveldayoff has not made a single significant trade as an NHL general manager. He's got this guy. They're, as Rod mentioned, they're part of a real tough playoff situation. And he's, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be a star player for a long time. Do you say, I'm not trading him to anybody in the West? Or do you say to yourself, I'll take the best deal. I don't care if it means sending him to Calgary.
The only caveats to everything you said is if Chicago were to come calling, a potential playoff rival, if St. Louis were to come calling, a potential playoff matchup, I would be hesitant in this case. Only in this case, if it was the off season, I wouldn't be hesitant at all. But I'd be hesitant to move him to teams that potentially I would play in the first round. That would be the only caveat. But I would never shrink the pool. The potential pool for assets is so important. Because we have the cap now, and again, that's one of the reasons why I was pretty brusque with some of the deals that Canadians made, because they didn't want to trade within the division or within the Eastern Conference. They shrunk the pool, and everybody around the league knew it. I don't think you can do that anymore because of the cap.
Well, that's one of the things I liked. Again, it's never been confirmed, but we speculate strongly that when Mark Bergevin had Josh Georges traded to Toronto, it was for Cody Franzen, and he's sending a popular guy to a rival team like the Toronto Maple Leafs. He made the Canadiens better.
He should have been congratulated for it, and I can tell you, a big part of my discussions with the ownership group in Montreal, and I have no problem sharing it with you because I'm sure, again, they were taking notes. You can't shrink the pool, as we've talked about on the show. And I'm sure Mark saw that and learned that working in Chicago. Once you shrink the pool in the salary cap era of teams you want to do business with, you're basically fouling yourself up. And good for him. And I do know for a fact that there was a deal on the table. Everybody knows with Toronto. And I do believe it was for Cody Franzen. Mm-hmm. I do.
All right. Two things then to pick up on. If they were that interested in Cody Franzen over the summer, are they still as interested right now, knowing what he's looking for long term, that the Toronto Maple Leafs apparently are not willing to meet? And the second question, without perhaps naming names, because I know you don't like to do that, and I understand.
Right.
What do you suppose, and you know Rick Dudley is part of the front office, knows Evander Kane very well, right, down in Atlanta?
Right. Yes, absolutely, he would know. Rick Dudley is one of those super sleuths. He does a great job. It was a very good hire by Mark Bergevin and the Canadiens. He will get to the bottom. How do you think he got Dale Weiss? You know, that's a Rick Dudley special, I can tell you right now, and you can go around it. Rick understands the art of team building. He really does, and that's one of the things I really admire about him.
So what kind of, I mean, let's play this game if from the Canadiens' perspective to try to get Evander Kane.
Well, if you're the Jets, don't you start with Pacioretty?
Huh?
I mean, if you're looking at this from the Jets perspective,
then it's over. End of conversation.
Okay, but you go from there maybe to Gallagher.
I would look at their organizational needs a little bit differently. They have huge organizational need on the back end. Yes, they have Bogosian, and yes, they have Trouba, and yes, they have Mark Stewart, but they've got a lot of holes on the back end. They need to close those holes up. They know it. They know it as a group because of how hard it is to win in the West, and they see it on a nightly basis. So that's one of the things that really needs to be addressed there. So I would start with maybe on defense and go from there if I were them.
And what about the fact that what about goaltending? Are they? I
think that they like Michael Hutchinson a lot.
Okay.
I know he's kind of hit the wall a little bit here, but that's normal. It's his first time around the loop, so to speak. And I still think they can. They probably feel they can rehabilitate Andre Pavlik. So, the goaltending part, I don't think is as urgent for them as maybe some other things.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you would probably know more, but based on everything he said, and it changes quickly, when he signed Brendan Gallagher to a contract, it's not the kind of player that you want to move.
No, I wouldn't be in a rush to move him, but you also know what I said. A player at that size, the way he plays, once the asset becomes devalued, the devaluing becomes quicker because people are aware he's a little bit smaller and he plays a robust style. It's not easy to overcome that.
But you'd rather have Evander Kane, a healthy Evander Kane. Like there
long term, I would, as long as I felt comfortable. And again, if you're asking me personally or as an organization, there's two differences. I personally would, only because I think I could get the most out of Evander. But with Brendan, I'm a huge Brendan Gallagher fan. I wouldn't want to move him. But if that's what the price was to get this player and I felt comfortable with my leadership core, I probably would have to do it. But I don't see the Canadiens doing that with Brendan. I really don't.
With Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. A reminder, normally every Wednesday we speak to agent Alan Walsh at about 5:45. Alan was in meetings yesterday. So he will join us in about 20 minutes on Melnick in the Afternoon.
Oh, he must be meeting with bankers and stuff.
Maybe Antoine Vermette might be in the mix.
Huh? That might be. Now, here's one thing, though, and this is, I don't know how much this has been talked about. The Pittsburgh Penguins traded Rob Klinkhammer and a first-round pick to get David Perreault, okay?
Right.
So kind of a template's been created. Now, I'm not saying that's going to change or not going to change because I believe it will. I think one of the driving forces of this marketplace will be Antoine Vermette. I think potentially another one of the driving forces of this marketplace is going to be Evander Kane. So and another one who's way under the radar. I read all these things about all these players leaving Arizona. Nobody's written Martin Hanzel's name. And I can tell you right now, because I've talked to a bunch of managers and directors of player personnel asking about Martin Hanzel, and believe me, he's high up on the list for a lot of teams. So I think the whole landscape's going to change here as we get close to March 2nd. Somebody's going to drive the market. I think the Perron trade kind of opens up a template, and then you go from there.
3:10 to go. Second period of play. Back on comes Rick Nash. Got it on to Stephon.
Even with Cam Talbot in for the injured Henrik Lundqvist, that was quite a hockey game last night. Bruins and Rangers on rivalry night on NBC Sports. Pierre, you were there. Your quick impressions?
That's the best I've seen the Rangers play in front of their goaltender in a long time in terms of not allowing people to get to the net. They did a good job with Montreal, but Montreal and Boston are two different teams. I was really, really impressed by the Rangers last night. Really, I haven't seen Derek Brassard. I told you this a long time ago, and I'll stick by it. This is the best I've ever seen Derek play. Derek Stepan has been fantastic. Everybody knows what Nash is doing. Kevin Hayes is really starting to grow into the number three role. Dominic Moore is really starting to play face-off hockey and penalty kill hockey, doing a good job. But the thing to me is Kevin Klein playing with Mark Stahl, such an underrated tandem. Fantastically underrated tandem and really good. The Rangers are good. Vigneault's coaching as well as he's ever coached. He deserves a lot of credit. He was in a huge chess match last night with Claude Julien. He's a pretty good chess player, and I thought Alain handled himself really well. Outside the first goal where they had their fourth line on the ice against the first line of the Bruins, where Lucci scored in the upper part of the net, But Atlanta quickly adjusted to that, and you didn't see that ever again the rest of the game.
So with the Bruins being eliminated by the Canadiens last spring and recognizing how quick the Rangers are, another first-hand look at that last night, safe to say that's something Peter Chiarelli's looking for at the deadline, some more speed.
Absolutely. Well done, Mitch. Absolutely. I was with Peter Chiarelli and John Ferguson Jr. before the game last night in the hallway by the Bruins dressing room. They didn't give out any organizational secrets, but the one thing that they talked about was the speed of some of the upper echelon teams, obviously Montreal, New York Rangers, Anaheim. The speed of the elite teams in the league, pretty apparent that what a lot of general managers are looking for, not just that skill and grit, but they're always looking for more speed.
Great as always, Pierre. Thanks so much. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Oh, my pleasure, Mitch. Great visiting with you. I'm really glad that they sorted out what actually happened with Evander Kane, because quite frankly, some of the things that I was hearing yesterday, and that's why I took the stance I took on your show, it was disturbing. Because I started to do the math, Mitch, and you understand geography. They played in Calgary. They have to, you know, pack up, go to the airport, charter to Vancouver, get to their hotel, and people are saying, well, he's out all night at, you know, a couple of the nighttime establishments in Vancouver. I'm like, that would be impossible. There'd be pictures. You know, and that was going around. Hockey people were spreading that everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what Lenny Bruce said many, many years ago, Pierre? Even if they got pictures, deny it.
Yeah.
Long before cell phones. Yeah. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.